Welcome to one of Kathy Frey's Motherwise podcasts. Kathy is a best-selling maternity author and award-winning international maternity consultant. During her time as a midwife, she's caught hundreds of babies. So you're in good hands. Enjoy.
Hi, everybody. Kathy Frey here from Motherwise. Hello, welcome. And welcome to this webinar or podcast. And the topic today that I want to talk to you about is when it's around about 1 month after you've had your baby. It's about that sort of 4 to 5 weeks after having a baby. And what should you know around this time, and what should you expect, and what's happening? So firstly, if we look at mum, and then we'll talk about baby, because there's lots to talk about with baby. And there's lots to talk about, mum. But anyway, let's get to it, back to you. So mothers, around about that sort of 6 week mark is typically when you would be saying goodbye. Week 5, week 6, you'd be saying goodbye to your midwife or doula or obstetrician or all three, and you're ending. They're ending their professional relationship with you, looking after you as their client. And that's a pretty momentous thing for a lot of times. And, they've often been in your life for basically almost 10 months now. You've had an intimate relationship with them, sometimes in a way that, you know, the only person close as close an intimacy with you has been your partner up until then. And there's a saying that people say, you know, midwives do forget clients. Of course, you know, when you're dealing with hundreds of births, they do meld in together. And in fact, I think that's a really safe, healthy thing to happen. You know, I think it would be wrong for us as midwives to remember everybody's birth. Like, heaven help me doing that. But, you know, when you bump into somebody in the supermarket, you know, you don't want to remember all the intimate details of them. It's like it's their privacy as well. So, you know, midwives do, it all kind of blends in, and as it should be. Obviously, there's some births that you never forget. But for the woman, we never forget our midwives. We never forget them, or our obstetrician. So, you know, if you're sort of hesitating, going, oh, should I get them a present? Would that be appropriate? Heck yes, get them a present. You don't know what personal event in their life they sacrificed to be at your side. You don't know what other dramas they may have had going on, or tragedies going on in their life at the time, to be with you and to give you their undivided attention. So heck yeah, thank them. They really appreciate it. You know, a really, just a few words and a lovely card. And I've received personally a lot of candles and a lot of chocolates over the years, we'd have to say. That's definitely popular. And but sometimes you would get things where women have really, you can see they've actually put their own little thinking cap on, and they've really thought about you, and they've got you something special. And man, we really like that. So don't hold back. It's a nice thing to do. It's a nice thing to thank people for what they've done for us as women. Okay, so, you know, it's sort of a period at this stage where there's a bit of an overall of kind of wondering, you know, you almost reassessing yourself. How are you mentally, emotionally, physically, socially, spiritually, sexually? Like, reassess yourself, you know. Look after yourself. You also need to realize that now that you're going to unplug from having access to assistance from a doula or midwife or obstetrician or more than one of them, well, what are you going to replace them with? So you want to be making sure that you're starting to plug yourself into community networks of people that you can learn from, network with, hang out with. Especially, it's a good time at this stage to be thinking about being part of a coffee group. Ah, there is nothing more therapeutic than being with a bunch of mums who are at the same Boat in the bathtub stages you. And that's great. And I cannot recommend that highly enough as a mother. Okay, but I would, well, we do want to move into the, oh, and also make sure you know what you're doing contraception wise. If it is not in your plan to continue on with another baby whenever it occurs. Now, for me personally, and I only tell you this because people often asked, and I don't know that personal stories are always relevant, but sometimes they're interesting. So, for me personally, us personally, it took a while to get pregnant with that first. So, we decided that, well, I said, look, I don't care what the gap is. I really don't care. It's going to be, I just don't want to have only one. And, you know, when you exclusively breastfeed, as I've explained to you in prior, webinars, that is a very effective form of natural contraception, and once those babies start on solid foods, then you know, your cycle can return, and you can do what I did between our first and second and have no period, and I'm pregnant again. And so that's how you get a 22-month gap when you you know, if you just if once the baby goes on to solid food, your cycle returns. So yeah, and then of course 22 months between those two, plus the pregnancy and breastfeeding. So that was quite a long time. I never had a period. Quite good, really. I think I maybe had one, two periods between having the third baby. But anyway, for me personally, I found it utterly freeing and absolutely wonderful to throw it out to the universe and said, I don't care when I get pregnant next. I really don't care. Let it be what it's going to be. Let the gap be what the gap's going to be. That was actually really freeing. But not everybody is in that situation to want to feel that way. So that's fine. But make sure you've got yourself sorted as to where you're at. Okay. So now let us move on to your baby because there's lots to talk about there. Okay. So typically, you know, around that sort of 5 to 6 week period stage, there should be, you know, again, a good sort of little bit of an assessment as to how things are going with baby and baby's overall well-being, health, development, their feeding patterns, their behavioral patterns. This is typically often when you might be seeing your local doctor, your GP, MD, whatever you call that person, for the first time in the community, not a pediatrician, but just a general doctor who sort of gets to know your baby a bit. And because often that will tie in with a child's first vaccinations if you're immunizing. And so, yeah, that's kind of a normal thing to occur. This is also a time when you start to sort of think about milestones and is my baby doing developmentally what my baby should be doing? And milestones at this age very much are dependent on the gestation of that baby when it was born because, you know, it does depend. Were they 37 weeks and when they were born, or were they 42 weeks when they were born? Because obviously, a baby that's 5 weeks older, 42 weeks is probably going to achieve developmental milestones slightly earlier because they're an older baby. Okay, but things like cooing, you know, around about that sort of 3 to 4 weeks at age. So if we say 3 to 4 weeks based on their due date, approximately something like that. Okay, so usually around 3 to 4 weeks is when they sort of start to do a bit of cooing. Meaning making sounds that are definitely not crying, you know, they're just making other sounds. Talking, like mimicking, like they sort of open their mouth like they're kind of trying to mimic you. It's also a cool time to start some a little bit of tummy time, where you lie them on their tummy and they sort of have to hold their head up. Now, people will always ask that question, well, how long do they need for tummy time at their age? Let them tell you. Basically, when they start whinging about it, pick them up. They're over it. If they start crying, well, they've really had enough. And they can go from whinging to crying pretty quick. So, you know, they might only last 60 seconds, but every day give them a little bit longer and, you know, it won't take very long. And hey, presto, they'll be having half an hour on their tummy. And of course, that eventually will lead up to the point when they're crawling in many more months to come. Okay, so this is also a time when they can do that really cute thing where they sort of intentionally lift the, if you're holding them, they kind of lift their head and they curl into your shoulder. Ah, it just makes you want to purr when you're a parent. It's so cute. It's like they try to snuggle into you. So neat. And this is also a time when they can have quite a dramatic increase in their head circumference. So that brain really starts to expand. And there's always that question, which I'll just, that relevant random question that people say, well, if you are born with all your brain cells, why does your brain get bigger? Why are their heads smaller and their heads get bigger? It's a really simple question to answer. And that is that every neuron or brain cell is kind of round and it has a long tail called an axon. And that axon gets what we call myelinated, or it gets covered in a sleeve of fat-like cells or myelin cells. And those cells take up room. So basically, the growth of the, because we're all born with all of our brain cells and we never replace them, we never get more, we never get less. Well, we do get less when we blow a few brain cells, typically when we're a young adult, some of us. But anyway, that myelination is what takes up the room. So that is where the whole term gray matter comes from. So your brain is gray. And but when those fat, those axon tails of the neuron get myelinated, it is turning your gray matter to white matter. So your brain actually sort of changes color visually looking at it. And it takes, quite a few years to do that. And that's why those little heads get bigger and bigger. And that's why their brain works more effectively, because their myelination on the axon tails of those neurons speeds up the transference of the signal. So yeah, your brain works quicker, basically. So a random question, but let's get on to the rest of it. So that's when some of that myelination has started to occur, is usually by a week 3 to 4, you'll see a dramatic increase in the circumference of your baby's head, and you'll, gosh, that hat that we were first putting on you no longer fits. All right, this is a time when babies at around 3 to 4 weeks really enjoy soft, soothing music. So things like classical music and lullabies. So be really careful of what the sound is that you've got going on in the background. I can't tell you the amount of times I would do home visits and people have their TVs blaring all day. Babies don't like that. They find it very overstimulating, not just from the sound, but also visually. So I just don't do that. Just have some quiet, nice, gentle music on the background, some easy listening music channel, and your baby will be much happier. They also enjoy starting to have a chats with pauses in between. So like you do a bit of talking and you stop and you let them do some talking, and they'll realize this is a two-way conversation. And there is some theories out there that all babies are born with the same language. And the only reason that they learn to speak our language, which for me happens to be English, is because, well, by default, if they don't, we're not going to learn to understand them. And that's where, often twins, for example, will have their own language, which they completely understand because they're born with a language. That's a theory. We don't know, but it kind of makes sense. Anyway, so having little chats to and fro with pauses, they love that. And they really like looking, staring at things that are black and white. And there's some really cool books that you can get from the library where there's just pictures that are black and white. They might be just wavy stripes or a circle or really, really simple stuff, guys. But black and white, they will just stare at it. It is literally like brain food. It is developing their brain. And that's why they're drawn to it. It's the contrast of color. Red's another color they can like, but predominantly black, white. So you will see them just staring. Well, you're looking at them and they're just staring and you're like, what are you looking at? And go and look at the angle of what they're looking at, and I guarantee there will be a difference of black and white in there somewhere. It might be the white of a light and the dark of the wall behind it, or it might be a black couch next to a white wall. Whatever it is, it's black and white, and they'll be staring at it, and they love it. And another thing you could do at this stage, or maybe just wait another couple of weeks, but what you can do is get books from the library. And I say the library because then you can return them and get different books, you know, but get some books from the library where they have those black or white, or maybe black, red and white pictures. And you can shove them down the side of the bassinet when you go to bed at night. So, or the that last feed at night. And then what happens is the baby wakes up in the morning and they wake up hungry, and then they look over and they go, oh, that's interesting. And they'll just stare at it for like 20 minutes. And you're like, yay, I can lie in bed for 20 minutes longer. Anyway, that's not official information. That's just a mother-to-mother tip. Okay, so what else around this time? Oh, look. Babies can be incredible. I'm looking at my list. I don't want to miss anything. Babies can be incredibly overstimulated, easily overstimulated still at this time. And, you know, if there's any kind of toys that do things like shake, rattle, jiggle, wiggle, squeak, vibrate, forget them. It's too much. It's just too much at this stage. They don't need that. Taking them to the supermarket with all those colors. Look, the commonest reason why babies are overtired, the commonest reasons why babies are not feeding well or not sleeping well is because they're overtired, because they're overstimulated. So super easy still to be overstimulated. Remember, it's only a month ago they were still inside you in that complete blackness. And if you've had a baby at, you know, 37 weeks, well, that baby could still have been inside you, right? So just staring into blackness. So don't overstimulate your baby. It's very easy for that to happen. This is also around the time at a month old is when the baby has their third dose of oral vitamin K. If you opted for the oral version of vitamin K, which is, you know, otherwise they usually have an injection at birth, which is a one-off, or they have the oral dose, which is typically given at three times, day one, week one, month one old. Okay. And now what else? All right. Now, this is an interesting little thing to learn. There is some amazing authors and researchers called Hetty van der Reech, I don't know exactly how to say her name, and Franz Plouch. And they did some research a long time ago, and you can find them online at a website called thewonderweeks.com, thewonderweeks.com. And they did a whole lot of research to do with why babies cry, and discovered that there is a really distinctive period with all babies that they go through certain periods of time throughout that first sort of 18 months or so of their life where they go unexplainably, irrationally clingy and crying, and like a stormier period starts. And what they realize is that all babies do it all around the same time. The times might vary slightly, based especially on their gestation when they were born. But if you base it on due date, it will happen. And it is a little different with every baby based on their personality. You know, are they just one of those little angel babies, good as gold anyway? Or are they just one of those grumpy babies? And that's their personality. But regardless of their gestation and regardless of their personality, guarantee it's going to happen. Abso-freaking-lutely. just to schedule. It might last for a couple of hours, it might last for a couple of days, sometimes even slightly longer than that. And what happens is that these parents go, oh my God, what's wrong with you? You're just not yourself. Why are you crying so much? Why are you so clingy? Are you unwell? And they take their baby off to the doctor and go, well, I don't know what's wrong with my baby, but she's just not normal. The doctor checks them and goes, well, I can't see anything wrong with your baby. And there is nothing wrong with them medically. And then, hey, presto, wah, poof, the next day, they're back to normal. And you're like, scratching your head going, what was that? What was that all about? Why were you so cranky the last 2 days and now you're back to normal? One of the theories on it as to why this occurs is that their vision changes. And maybe, because we know their vision does change, but maybe their vision doesn't change quite so gradually as we think it does. And maybe their vision changes actually quite drastically and dramatically. So for them, they've woken up one morning and their whole world is looking different and scarier. And they're like, oh, I don't like this. Everything's just changed on me. We know that by the time we know when they're born, that they see around about sort of 20, 25 centimeters reasonably clear. We call it the on-face distance, which is that distance for holding them from breastfeeding to looking at their mother. And that's sort of about 8 to 10 inches. But we know that by the time they get to about 7 to 8 weeks of age, they're seeing about 30 centimeters or a foot. And so there's changes. So maybe, you know, one of those stepping up changes occurs at around 5 weeks when they go into this cranky, clingy period of crying. So it's just good to know that they happen. And now, if you look in my book, okay, at the back section here, there is this fantastic appendix, okay, which is about a dozen pages long. And that's where I go through each week and month of that first year. It's in a lot of detail. It's in a small font and it tells you every single developmental thing that should be occurring and every single toy that's fantastic at the time, the things they do want, they don't want, what you could be doing with them. It's just such a good dot point list. So that's when you can look up. That's where I will explain about all of these different cranky, clingy periods and when to expect them. All right. So other things I want to talk to you now, just in closing, I'm just going to give you a really rushed little list of some of the things to look forward to in the next six, when your baby's around 6 to 7 weeks of age. And they're going to have a really crucial milestone, which is their first smile. Oh, that will melt your heart. So somewhere around then. Tummy time becomes increasingly beneficial for them. They get less floppy, so they have got better neck and head control. In fact, you kind of hold them under their armpits and they might even be able to hold their own neck up for about a minute. They start to have these incredible fixed gazes at things, and that's good. That's their brain focusing. They're not staring into space at nothing. They're staring at something. You just haven't worked out what it is they're staring at, that they find it so fascinating. They do lots of increasive babbling, chuckling, gurgling, early little bits of laughter. You know, it's so cute. Lots of communicating of oohs and ahs, and it's just so sweet. They start to actually cry real tears because their tear ducts start to work. So, and they can cry real tears, particularly angry voices, because they start to display and another couple of weeks after that, around 8 to 9 weeks, when they're 2 months old, they start to display some more complex feelings themselves. You know, anger, sadness, joy, etc. So lots, give them lots of bright pictures of, with focusing on their black and white and red, just enjoy these developments. Get my book so you've got all the rest of those developmental milestones that you can keep track on. And that's everything for today. I want you all to just have a fabulous week. And I will see you all soon. Bye, everyone.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast today. Visit kathyfrey.com for lots more free maternity information and downloads. Plus, you can order copies of Kathy's books, browse through her top recommended motherhood products, and check out her popular support package options. kathyfrey.com.